Would you please stand? You won't be standing long. Only a few verses here. I'm actually going to start at the beginning of verse 2, just so we can get it in context here. This is Habakkuk saying, I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him. But the righteous shall live by his faith. Moreover, wine is a traitor, an arrogant man who is never at rest. His greed is as wide as Sheol. Like death, he is never enough. He gathers for himself all nations and collects as his own all peoples. Shall not all these take up their taunt against him with scoffing and riddles for him and say, woe to him? And that's where we'll stop this morning. Would you please be seated? So, does the Lord know who the Babylonians are? He does. And he really sums it up in one sentence here. This is what he says about the Babylonians. His soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him. In reality, there's probably never another nation that lived in opposition to the Lord as the Babylonians did. They wanted nothing to do with the Lord. Every aspect of their life was in conflict with what the Lord would want for them. And he says their soul is puffed up. It's not upright within him. But those who do not know the Lord, their soul is not upright within them. You see, when that happens, there is no rest, there is no peace. There's just this constant striving. And so my first question for you this morning is your soul upright? You see, when your soul is not upright, it means that you are tormented day and night. You are worried and distraught. You are distracted and unsatisfied. We struggle with all that we are in order to upright the soul. In other words, to right the ship. Because when it's not right, it's not good. You see, when a ship leans to the right or the left, we say that it's listing that way. I got the just incredible privilege, I think it was Memorial Day weekend, I got an invite to go sailing out of Kima and on about a 70-foot yacht. First time I'd ever gotten to do that, and I think I've told you this story, that we got out there and there was no wind, zero. And I was sitting on the deck of this boat, and I did begin to pray. And I was whining. I was like, Lord, I never get to do this. This is once in a lifetime. Please, just bring some wind. I mean, we're just like trolling along with a little motor. I want the sails up. I want to see what this is like. And I kid you not, the wind began to pick up. And the captain of the boat said, let's put the sails up. And he did, and then the coolest thing, that whole boat just shifted over. And I mean, to walk up the boat, you're like walking up a hill. It listed so far. And it was just cool. We were taking off then. It was a great experience. And now, although that's great for a sailboat, it's not good for a ship. It's not good for it to list. And what happens is we will attempt, without the Lord, because our soul is not upright, we will attempt anything we can attempt in order to upright it. We try to control everything. We try to accomplish everything. We try to achieve everything. We want peace in our soul. Why do you think that many are clamoring for fame and power and acceptance and approval and attention? For something to appease their soul that is not upright. And that's the way the Babylonians are. They are going and conquering nation after nation after nation. They are gathering the women. They are gathering the children. Remember, that's what they did. They divided families. They took the best of the best, took them back to Babylon. They're gaining so much wealth. They're gaining land. They're gaining livestock. They are getting all of this thing, but it's not enough. It's never enough because their soul is not upright. People, our soul is only upright when it is in the Lord. That's the only time. And hear me on this. When things are going well, it's easy to be upright with the Lord. It's when they're not. Are you just telling us from your own experience? Nope. I'm telling you from God's Word. If you're not familiar with Job, he was a healthy, wealthy, married man with lots of children. And do you remember what Satan said to the Lord? Does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands and his possessions have increased in the land. He goes, look, of course he loves you. Of course he praises you. Of course he is. His soul is upright with you. But then he says this, but stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. You see, when you will really find out if your soul is upright, it's not in the calm waters. It's in the rough waters. When it's calm, I mean, and they've got all of those containers set up on the ship, that's not when the ship is tested to whether or not the ship is right. It's when they get in stormy waters. That's when the test comes. It's easy for your soul to be upright when you're with the Lord and things are calm and easy going. It's when the storms come. And I think all of us in this room know what it is when the storm comes and all of a sudden our souls doesn't seem upright. Here the Babylonians are seeking world domination. Nothing is enough. There is no peace in their soul. You see, we don't do it with world domination. At least I don't know anyone in here who is part of Pinky and the Brain, if you remember that cartoon. What are we going to do today? Take over the world. But we do it with other means. Our soul is not upright, and what do? We do it by the cars we drive, the homes we live in, the clothes we wear. We constantly want people to know every accomplishment. I mean, good night. I'm on Facebook and I see it. Every little thing that happens, every little thing that I got up this morning and fixed my kids' breakfast and there it is, a picture of the breakfast and happy kids. And I'm like, seriously? Who's got time to take pictures of this and put it on Facebook? And yet, we're also, yay. Because somewhere in there, there's this, I need this. I need this attention. I need this accolade. Please do not misinterpret what I'm saying. Should we celebrate things together? Yes. Should I put a picture of a bulldozer on our property? Yes. Let's celebrate that. But when you are attempting to obtain joy and happiness and peace through this world, it will never be enough. Never. When our soul is in turmoil, we're so distracted by the things of this world that we are never settled and our souls are not upright. And I love the way John Calvin stated it. He goes, we do not acquiesce in the Lord, but that's where we need to get to, that we acquiesce in the Lord. If you remember, I told you that one commentator was saying this is the five stages of grief. You see that. And I want to remind you that many times, this is what, as people are going through tough times, this is what we really want. We want them to get to acceptance immediately. And that's the reason we throw out those platitudes. They're going through a rough time, and we'll sit down beside them and put, God's in control, and we want them there. But just remember, this is the reality. And you see this in Habakkuk. You see that he's gone through this isolation, this anger, this bargaining, this depression, and he's about to get to acceptance. We still haven't even gotten there yet. He's about to get there. But thank goodness, We serve a patient God. Amen? Just remember to, and again, I know it's not scripture, it's John Calvin describing this passage when he says we need to get to the point where we acquiesce in the Lord. Remember, acquiesce is to reluctantly accept what God is doing. When you finally accept, when you go, okay, this is it, I've got to trust Him in this. But you've already gone through these other things. You've already gone through isolation and anger and bargaining and depression and all these, and then finally, you reluctantly say, okay, you've got it, Lord. Again, Habakkuk's not there yet. And here, what you're going to see in chapter 2, there are three encouraging phrases that are going to happen. And here's the first one. Because not only does he know who the Babylonians are, he tells them this. Whereas the ungodly think of themselves as their own salvation, they are greedy. And they, by the way, their soul is not upright. That's not true for the believer. They shall live by his faith. They shall live by his faith. So I'm going to ask the question. Is the ship right? Is your soul upright? Are you living by faith? It's when you arrive at that faith that your soul is upright within you. Again, go back to Job. Many people go, oh man, when you look at the beginning of Job, you'll see that, man, he even says, you know, should we receive only good from God? We should praise Him no matter what. And you go, man, he got to acceptance really quick. Go read the rest of the book. Because he has a lot of complaints. He didn't get there immediately. He goes through isolation. He's by himself. He's depressed. He's angry. Bargaining, all of these things. And then finally, it's not until God answers him and puts him in his place, if you will. And then he's like, okay, I got nothing else to say. I accept this is what it is. But when your soul is upright and you're living by faith, you are not tormented day and night. You are not haunted by what is around you and worried about what will be. You see, that's two different ways of living. When your soul is not upright versus you live by faith, the first settles on the delusion that you're in control. You see, your soul is not upright. You've got to do what you can do to try to get that upright. And by the way, it'll never be enough. You'll never get there. I'm sorry, I cannot remember who said the quote. They said, the surest way to be unhappy is to what? Pursue happiness. The surest way to be unhappy is to pursue happiness. You'll never get there. You'll never get there. You know, I remember I was a kid once, and now that I have to deal with my own children, it's amazing. And parents, I know you've felt this way before. You have done everything that you know to do to get everything right for your kids. And I mean, it could be that you've planned out this incredible birthday weekend. It could be that you've planned out this incredible vacation. It could be all of these things. And you've done all these things so that your kids will just have the joyous time. And you get to the end and they're still complaining about something that didn't come out right. And you're just going, I've done all of this. Have you not seen this? You know, we were excited to have Kendall back home, and man, we had the hot dog thing Friday night, and then we watched a movie later that night, and then Reuben and I went and did a fall festival yesterday, and again, he was the DJ, but I limited his microphone time. And later, we went out to eat again last night. And I told my youngest, I said, look, the dog needs to be fed. And she was like, by the way, the dog food and the dog dish, I can touch both of them. And it didn't matter that we had done all of these fun things all weekend. All of a sudden, it wasn't enough. And that's what happens. We pursue happiness and we end up unhappy. But the first settles it under the delusion that you're in control, that you can create happiness, that you can create joy, that you can create peace. The second knows that God is in control and you don't you don't get to do those things. You can't do those things. Only He can. The first makes you a taker from others. Oh, I want this and I want that. And you're going to see that here as He describes the Babylonians. The first makes you a taker from others, while the second allows you to receive from the Lord. It's a big difference. The first causes sleeplessness, while the other brings rest. Let me tell you, over the last 2 years, I do know what sleepless nights are like. As a parent, I know what sleepless nights are like. I know what it is to worry. And, you know, it's amazing what our country spends, the millions and billions of dollars, to do what? To rest. Sleep aids are a huge industry. Live by faith in the Lord. You see, rest is not a right. It's a privilege. What do you think heaven is going to be? Rest. It's going to be rest. Endless rest. I can't wait. Endless rest. So the first causes sleeplessness. The second brings rest. The first is chaos. It's chaos. You never have enough. You never can acquire enough. You're always going for more. You can't ever rest. You got to go, because you got to get more and more and more. And it's almost like, you know, they talk about marijuana being a gateway drug. You see, you'll get your high off of it, but that's only leading you to the next thing, which leads you to the next thing, which leads you to the next thing. And you're addicted to this. And that's what that is. The first brings chaos, but the second, that's where you find the peace in the chaos. And I don't know if you know about the faith that I'm speaking of this morning, but it is a faith that is very sweet. A faith that no matter what, God has this and you can lay your head down at night and rest. A faith that tells us even though we are sinners, our sin has been answered for and paid for. A faith that tells us that even though when much is wrong and done against us, God will take care of it. God is aware who His children are and God is aware who the enemy is. Amen? A faith that tells us that when our families fall apart, when construction is delayed, when we get the bad test results, when our mothers and our fathers and even our children pass away, the Lord has this. A faith that allows us to wake up and know that even in the midst of our suffering, God has a plan, and His plan is very complex. We don't get it. Even if He told us, we wouldn't believe it. But He has something for us that's so much better than we can ever imagine. But listen, I want to warn you again. Sometimes it takes time to get to acceptance on that. Well, Pastor, do you live like that all the time? That your faith just makes it to where you're just always, your faith, your soul is upright and you don't ever worry? And you don't, no. Sometimes I'm going through all of those things. I haven't gotten to acceptance. And just because you get to acceptance in one part of your life, don't worry. There'll be another storm coming, and it's going to rock you in another part of your life. And you get to go through all of those again. But He's a good, good Father, and He is patient with us. We need to be patient with one another. And then He begins to assure Habakkuk, I know who they are. He tells them they're arrogant. And look what he says right there. Go back to verse 5. Moreover, wine is a traitor, an arrogant man who is never at rest. That's who Babylon is. He's never at rest. Always wanting more. Always trying to acquire more. It seems like they would be happy, wouldn't you think? They're winning every war. They're the world power. Every time they go in to conquer someone, they win. And yet they never rest. Because as soon as they conquer one thing, they go, oh, I need more. I got to have more. They had the wealth. They had the power. But they never rested. Do we rest in the Lord? That's a sermon right there. I could just hang out right there for a while. Because again, I know what it is to not rest in the Lord. And I like it so much better when I am. Not only is he arrogant, but it follows right along. He's greedy. When you're greedy, there is no rest because you have to have more. You have to have more attention, more wealth, more stuff, more acceptance, more relevance, more accolades, more, more, more. It's never enough. And see, when your faith is upright in the Lord and you're resting, guess what you're not doing? Acquiring. You've stopped. You're just still. Be still. And what? And know that I'm God. Be still. So he's very well aware of who the Babylonians are. Habakkuk, you don't have to tell me who they are. I know. Their soul is not upright. They're arrogant. They're greedy. And you got to imagine that Habakkuk's going, okay, I like what you're saying here. This is good. Okay, good. You know who they are. Now what? And then you flip the page in my Bible and you get to verse 6. And it says, shall not all these take up their taunt against him with scoffing and riddles for him and say, why didn't it say, and make war? Or take care of this? Or pick up your arms? Or send nuclear missiles? Or instead, I know who they are, and everyone that they're conquering, here's what's going to happen. I want you all as Judah. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to talk to them. I want you to say some things to them as they come in and kill your countrymen, as they come in and they take wealth that doesn't belong to them, as they come in and take homes that don't belong to them, as they come in and take cattle that doesn't belong to them, as they come in and they rip your sons and your daughters away from you, and as they take them to a foreign land and introduce them to foreign gods, I want you to say these things to them. There is nothing in me that would want to only talk. I'd want to fight. And this is what he wants him to say. Are you ready for this one? How many of y'all have gone and you've begun to share who Christ is? And then you get to that moment. I told you there's a book that talks about crossing the pain line. And you get to that moment and you tell them, look, without the Lord, without Christ, when you die, you'll go to hell for all eternity. And many times, the person you're talking to, they're like, I don't even believe in hell. I don't believe that stuff. And essentially, what they are to tell their captors, what they're to tell their conquerors is, just wait. Because your day is coming where God's going to judge you. And as arrogant and greedy people, guess what? They don't care. It's about here and now. It's about right now. Oh, no, no. I'm conquering you. I'm taking all your stuff. I'm dividing your families. That's what I'm going to do right now. I don't care. Don't tell me about later, because right now I'm the one with the power. And he says, but you tell them, woe to you, because the day is coming where God is going to take care of you. That is a hard, hard message, because those who are doing harm, those who are conquering, you think they have any fear of that? Nope. They're winning. At least it appears at the time. They're winning. I've already read to you out of Deuteronomy, where he says that vengeance is mine. And we go, man, that's tough. Vengeance is his. That's really tough. I don't know if I can live with that. And yet, what if I told you that the call upon us is even greater? Because we're in the New Testament. And let me tell you what Paul says in Romans, where he quotes Deuteronomy. Repay no one evil for evil. But give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Man, I fail at that all the time. But when your soul is upright, you can do this. I can do this. When your soul is upright. So this morning, I do only have two questions for you. Is your soul upright? And are you living by faith? The righteous shall live by his faith. Are you doing that this morning? And you go, Paul, man, there's so much happening. Man, in this church, and you look around and you go, we're not a mega church. No, we're not. But even within this church, I know there are financial struggles. There are family struggles. There are deaths looming. There are troubles with employment. Am I going to have a job later? Let us be people that, number one, church, listen to me. Let's be patient with our brothers and sisters and not try to force them to number five immediately. Oh, you just need to accept it because that's what God's got a plan. And you know he's got your best in mind, so you just get to acceptance. Just don't do that. Let's be patient with them as they go through that grieving time. But let's always encourage one another. Hey, I know where you are right now. I know you're hurting. I know this is tough. I know it's tough. But let me be here with you and live by faith together. There's a reason that you're not alone. There's a reason that you have brothers and sisters in our church. Amen? So I hear you. I know you're not at five yet. You're not at acceptance yet. But even when you're in isolation, let me just come along beside you for a moment and then I'll leave you alone. Even when you're angry, it's okay. I'll tell you what, I'll be angry with you. When we're praying, I'll yell at God with you, okay? And then let us rejoice together when we see our brother and sister going, yes, it's going to be fine. I'm with the Lord. He's got this. So this morning, I don't know where you are in that grieving process. Like I said, I know there are many things going on, even in this small congregation. But I want to encourage you. Live by faith. And church, look right here. You encourage me. Live by faith, Pastor. Live by faith. Let's do what we can as we call upon the Lord, and He brings us to the point where our soul is upright. And we acquiesce to the Lord. You've got this. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask that you move as the Lord is telling you to move. Maybe you need to come forward with a brother or sister here who knows what you're going through, and you just say, I just need you to go pray with me. I'm struggling to get to five. I'm struggling to get to that acceptance. Would you just come pray with me? Maybe you need to come forward and say, look, I don't know what it is to live by faith because I've been trying all of this on my own. And I realize that it doesn't matter what I do, where I go, how I do it, I'm never going to have an upright soul until I put my faith in Christ. I'm ready to right the ship. I'm ready to have an upright soul. Maybe this morning you need to come and join our church. This needs to be where you're going to grow in your faith, where you're going to have brothers and sisters who surround you as you go through the storms of life. What will you do this morning? Let's pray.